You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to 3 and Out with Jason and Kevin. I am Jason. That is Kevin. We are brought to you by CincyJungle.com, SB Nation, Cincinnati Bengals website, and we are sponsored by Eastgate Smiles Dental Care. Give them a call. So we are on the Orange and Black Insider, which is Cincy Jungle's kind of media arm. We're on Orange and Black Insider on YouTube, and then anywhere that you can get podcasts, we'll be streaming there. Subscribe, like, it's not just us, it's just great football, Bengals football content every single day. It's OBI, it's Chalk Talk, it's Talking Football with Bengal Jim and Friends. And even though we're kind of in the offseason, at least Bengals fans are in the offseason, there's still just multiple, you know, four or five things a week. So subscribe, like, follow, all that jazz. Kevin, what is going on, buddy?
Nothing. Got a new offensive coordinator, the one we knew we were going to get until people started throwing around other names out of nowhere. Dan Pitcher, new offensive coordinator of the Bengals. What are your thoughts, man? I don't overly expect much is going to change.
I don't know. I don't know. I think I agree with you. I mean, he's already on the roster. You figure that if he's thought of enough or thought highly of enough by Zach Taylor to be promoted to offensive coordinator so quickly, then you imagine that he was thought valuable enough over the last couple of years to put his input into the offense and stuff. And Joe Burrow obviously likes him. So I don't know if anything's going to change.
I know he had a lot to do with the changes when Browning took over for Burrow.
Yeah. And I could totally, and you know, I think that what they did was they did what Joe Burrow probably wanted them to do. Was Joe Burrow like Dan Pitcher? You know, he liked them last year.
You can
find
clip after clip of Burrow just going on about how him and Pitcher's relationship. So I think that's true. Yep. And I know there was a lot of interest in him as an offensive coordinator last year. Right. So I kind of think this was already like kind of written where they were like, hey, stick around one more year. Yeah. We want you here. You want to be here. Right. We know Callahan's going to be out the door at some point or another.
Yeah. And we'll, I think it's one of those things where they said, hey, you know, like, best case scenario is Callahan gets hired to be a head coach somewhere and you get to be the offense coordinator. Or worst case scenario is the offense underperforms so bad we fire Callahan. And then it's you. So I think that was the plan all along. Like you said, I think Burrow likes him, and I think that they're willing to do whatever Burrow wants them to do when it comes to who's going to be in that room with him game planning. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So as far as if I like it or not, if Burrow's cool with it, then I'm cool with it. Like, who am I to say otherwise? You know what
I mean? Just play devil's advocate here. Do you feel like sometimes Burrow always chooses the hardest possible route as far as the offense he wants to be a part of, and maybe indulging in an offensive coordinator, maybe picking an offensive coordinator who's likely to indulge in some of his worst tendencies?
Maybe. I mean,
is a bad thing? I'm not saying I think that. Yeah. I'm just thinking out loud. Could you see that maybe a better pick would have been somebody who's going to bring something new, something different, going to challenge both Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow about what this offense can or should be?
I don't know, man. I can tell you what I hope. My hope is that Dan Pitcher sees what a backup quarterback was able to do on this offense when they ran the ball, and says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to kind of play that offense. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It's obvious that Burrow likes to have the ball in his hands. It's obvious that he wants the offense to flow through him and not a running back. So we could see week one next year, Joe Burrow coming out and slinging the ball 40 times. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen. No clue.
I don't think we have to worry about Dan Pitcher seeing it. He's the one who built that offense, or at least a big chunk of it with Callahan. I want Burrow to see it.
I do too.
I don't want to change this offense overly much, but I would like a 20 to 30% shift into what we saw Browning doing.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, the other thing, too, is obviously Dan Pitcher has to accept the job, which, I mean, he's already done. But, like, the other side of it is, you know, his other options. You know, before we started recording, you were talking about it was the Saints and who else that wanted to interview him?
Saints, Raiders, and Pats were all showing interest in bringing him.
Okay, so the Saints, Raiders, and Pats. So let's look at, so the Saints have Derek Carr maybe for next year. I don't know. I think a lot of people don't want him there. The Packers have Mac Jones. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Patriots have Mac Jones, which is a bad deal. And then the Raiders, and I don't even, Jimmy G, is he, I don't even know. I have no idea who the Raiders quarterback is. Do they know? So I don't. So, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at those three options, and then Cincinnati calls and is like, oh, Joe Burrow, the top three, maybe the second best quarterback in the NFL behind Patrick Mahomes, is he wants you to be the offensive coordinator here. Do you want to hitch your wagon to his truck or Derek Carr? And it's obvious the answer to me would be Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I don't think it's just about Joe Burrow, though. You don't stick around and put your career on hold for a solid year on the potential to maybe be on offense. I think he likes it here. He's been here a long time. Marvin Lewis is the one who brought him in. He's been here since, like, 2016. I think he's made a home for himself here. He likes the staff. He likes the city. He likes the team. And I think he was willing to put his career on hold for a year on the chance that he got stuck around and maybe make put another 5, 6, 7 years in this if he's lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be great. I mean, this could be the change needed, the offense to kind of help get the offense over the hump. And then, like you said, he came here. Marvin Lewis brought him here in 2016. He's been here ever since. He, you know, helped Andy Dalton have. I think you would agree with me when I say Andy Dalton overachieved in the NFL, right?
He did.
Yeah. So, and that has
based off draft position and stuff like that.
Right, draft position, and then just like you've seen the skill set that he has, and then the skill set that Burrow has. Andy Dalton is not Joe Burrow. Like he doesn't have the potential to even try to be Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but that's why I'm arguing against the word overachieved, because he also hasn't achieved what Burrow achieved.
I think Dalton adequately achieved
what Dalton could achieve.
Right.
Which is not a slight against him. He was a starter level quarterback.
A well coached guy, you know what I mean, that took him to the playoffs 5, 6 years in a row, whatever it was. And you know, and now he's got this, you know, if he's a sculptor, I'm gonna get like really artsy on you real quick. He's a sculptor, you know, he's Michelangelo or whatever. You know, when he was
Michelangelo?
I think that's how it was
Michelob Ultra?
I think it was pronounced Michelangelo. Mick Ultra just might be really classy. Classy beer. Anyway.
Okay. I hate that pronunciation so much.
Anyway, Michelangelo.
Yeah.
You know, he's got this lump of clay, whatever, and now he's got, you know, they drafted Joe Burrow. He's got David, right? The peak. This is getting way over top of. Okay, let's just.
Yeah.
He's got a better quarterback to work with. I think that has to do with it. Either way. You know, are you. I'm not surprised. I'm not like super pumped. I'm not super bummed. I'm just like, okay, yeah, this is what we thought was going to. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if anything at all is going to change. If I had to bet, I would say it doesn't make that big of a difference. I think the playbook will be largely the same. I expect Zach Taylor to continue calling plays.
Yep.
I mean, what difference do you see? Obviously, we haven't seen a playbook or a plan or anything, but do you really see some drastic difference coming into next year?
No, not a bit. He's been under Callahan for a while. He's been part of the team for a while. He's been under Zach Taylor for a while. They did not bring him in to make drastic changes to this.
Right.
This is a continuity hire. Which you could argue, and I would, depending on the circumstance, argue is the right call. This is a successful team.
Oh, yeah.
They've been running really, really well for the last couple of years. Yeah. There's no reason to rock the boat here. So it's not exciting, but continuity is one of the strengths of this team, and this is like one of the better ways to maintain it, considering we're losing our offensive coordinator. So I think overall I'm pretty happy with it. I think it's boring, and I think Bengals fans are going to say it's boring. And it is. It's boring. But that's multiple other teams have shown interest in pitcher for two solid years running. It's not like we didn't have – he didn't have options, and it's not like we didn't have options.
Right.
I think it's just a match that fits.
Yeah, and it's not like we've been sitting around here for weeks going like, oh, God, I hope it's not Dan Pitcher. We all just assumed it's probably going to be Dan Pitcher, and we're fine with that. Yeah, we're fine with that. And then you said continuity, and just something else to think about. Brian Callahan was the longest tenured offensive coordinator in the NFL before he got hired by the Tennessee Titans, which is crazy to me because he's only been here for, what, 4 years?
The NFL burns the coordinators, man.
Oh, I know, man. The turnover is nuts. And, you know, a lot of it is, hey, these guys are head coaches now, but there's a lot of it's like, you didn't score enough touchdowns this year. You're out, you know?
If you become an offensive coordinator, you become a head coach in 3 years or you get demoted.
Or you're done. Or you're a quarterback's coach at, like, a small college in 3 years, one of the two. No, I think this is what we expected. And this is just, like, on the, you know, the road, if Dan Pitcher does really well, again, through here, you know, Brian Callahan's kind of the first sprout of the coaching tree, you know, the first branch of Zach Taylor's coaching tree. And you assume if Dan Pitcher does really well, he's probably number two. I don't think Lou Anarumo's ever going to go anywhere. Lou Anarumo's going to be here forever because he should have been head coach 2 years ago.
He's a defensive-minded head coach, and he doesn't know a lot of people. He came up from nothing. He's not part of some fancy tree. He may end up getting a head coaching job, but.
Yeah, everybody wants the young offensive guys.
They do.
And you know what? That's all not just Zach Taylor, but that's all everyone saw what – what's his face? God. Sean McVay. Sean McVay came into the league at like 13 years old and just set the whole thing on fire. You know what I mean? Now everyone's looking for the next hotshot young offensive mind. Do you have any other thoughts on Dan Pitcher?
Nope.
Okay. We're going to go to commercial. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Brian Callahan, Tennessee, some connections, T. Higgins, maybe. I don't know. Some other stuff. All right, we'll be back.
Eastgate Smiles Dental Care is a warm and welcoming environment where expertise and customer service come together. As a local business, they love helping their fellow Cincinnatians manage their oral health and achieve a perfect smile. They pair the latest technology with years of experience to give you a smile worth showing off. They are dedicated to quality and convenience and can even perform dental crown procedures the same day in most cases. You like your smile, but they are here to help you love it. They personalize your care and match your needs. Call them today at 513-528-1150 to learn what they can do for your pearly whites.
All right, so we mentioned Dan Pitcher's offensive coordinator because Brian Callahan left and was hired by the Tennessee Titans to be their new head coach. First of all, I want to know if you were surprised that they fired Mike Vrabel, because I was surprised.
Oh, very, very.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. They were the number one seed 2 years ago. They went to the playoffs again last year, I think. He had Ryan Tannehill. He got the best out of Ryan Tannehill for a long time.
Yeah, and he didn't just have Ryan Tannehill. Word is, he was forced to have Ryan Tannehill.
Sure,
it had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and then they got. No receivers. They got, you know, Derrick Henry has started to look a little bit human this year, and he still did some very Derrick Henry things, but there was also a couple times where, you know, he just didn't look like himself anymore, and that's what happens to big running backs like that. And then they came in with Will Levis, and Will Levis played really, really well. They're a rookie quarterback, and I just kind of figured, like, they'll say, oh, hey, like, you know, it was a down year this year, but Vrabel's got us back going where we wanted to go. So I was shocked when the Titans fired Mike Vrabel. I was not shocked that Brian Callahan was chosen, considering how well the offense hummed for a little while with Jake Browning.
What got him the job.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's 100% what got him the job. And I think that's part of the reason why Dan Pitcher is here and why other teams were interested. And they said, hey, you know, we might not get the offensive coordinator, but the quarterback coach that helped Joe Burrow and then turn around and help Jake Browning, you know. So I'm going to tell you a little story. Well, it's just history lesson. Everybody knows Carson Palmer said, I want out of here. I want to be gone. I want to be traded. And it just happened to be the summer before that, Hugh Jackson was hired by the Oakland Raiders to be their next head coach. And lo and behold, Hugh Jackson, acting like a sleeper agent, activated and said, hey, I'll give you first two first-round picks for Carson Palmer. And Mike Brown said, absolutely. And they sent Carson Palmer to Oakland, and the rest is history. He was terrible, and that whole situation was terrible until he got to Arizona. And Hugh Jackson was eventually fired. And I think that the Carson Palmer trade was probably the first reason when he went into that meeting to get fired. This is why you're getting fired. You made this trade. Anyway, all that to say, do you think there's a chance that Brian Callahan turns around and says, hey, you just tagged T. Higgins. I don't have any wide receivers. I mean, I'm looking here. So, I mean, you know, there's DeAndre Hopkins, and he's older. Treylon Burks. Chris Moore. T. Higgins is immediately wide receiver one on that offense. 100%. You know, do you think there's a chance? Do you think there's a connection there? All right, so we were obviously wearing different outfits. We had some technical issues yesterday, so we had to finish recording today. And where we kind of stopped off, we were talking about the concept of, and I think Kevin would agree, tag and trade is possible, yeah, but probably the least likely scenario. In fact, I actually think – oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just that the Bengals will not do it. The Bengals are an old-school organization. They still play by different rules than the rest of the league does, at least most of the rest of the league. It's frustrating at times. And as much as we go on about how modern they've become, they're still in the dark ages in certain things. But in theory, tagging and trading T is probably the best option. But they won't take
it. Yeah, I'd be all about it. I mean, but they've said in the past, like when they talked about the concept of tagging and trading A.J. Green, because A.J. Green, the writing was on the wall. He's done. You know, he's not going to be there.
Sure.
So the concept of tagging him and trading him in his last year of his contract, I think it was Mike Brown that said, we're not in the business of making other teams better. And that's true. That's not what they're going to do. And I also think
but that is a – and I'm not arguing because the Bengals are not going to do it. But right, that is a bad way of thinking.
Oh, no, I totally agree.
A.J. Green was arguably the best member of the offense, so trading him away is trading away what makes your offense great.
Right.
Trading away T. Higgins is buying a year or two, maybe more, in the future for making Burrow great. They're two very different things.
Yes.
Again,
I totally agree.
That doesn't matter. The Bengals aren't going to do it, but they should.
I absolutely totally agree. I think the writing's on the wall. It's obvious that T. Higgins is going to leave probably after 2024. There's no way they can afford to keep Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. It's just not possible. They could if that's the only team they want to pay for ever.
Sure.
Everyone else is going to be on rookie contract or veteran minimum. But I think that the way they see it, and I'm not saying that they're wrong either, but the way they see it is they're looking at 2024 and they're saying, oh, we can win it. There's no reason we can't win it. And T is going to be a part of that. And so I understand from a game standpoint of why they're not going to do it. Business-wise, it would make perfect sense.
Sure.
You know, we're going to have, let's tag him, trade him for whatever you can get.
Yeah, but and like this is all coming up because of the Titans thing. Like,
right.
I think Callahan, I think there would at least be a passing interest from Callahan. I think people I don't think they're going to let Callahan into that building and on day one just freely be like, oh, and here, take all the picks, do what you want with them.
Right.
That's kind of a weird concept that I don't think it's true. But there'd at least be some additional pool. And I think Callahan would at least be interested. He knows what T. Higgins brings. T. Higgins would be an excellent valve for Will Levis. It'd be an excellent way for Callahan to make a splash right away. Yeah. Hey, I showed up. I walked in the door, and guess who I brought with me? I brought a number one wide receiver, maybe one of the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL.
For sure.
I mean, I could see why it'd be appealing, and it's a fun thought.
It's not going to happen. Should it happen? Maybe. But it won't.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with T. Higgins on the team one more year. Franchise.
I'm more than okay with it. It's a good thing. But the flip of it is freeing up $20 million next year.
Right.
Trading T, let's say, for a second-round pick. Let's just say a flat second. The Titans have a high second-round pick. This is one of the deepest wide receiver draft classes we've seen. So you take that $20 million, you flip it over, invest in your D-line depth. Maybe DJ Reader comes back. And you get some new young wide receiver that you get to pay rookie minimum for the next 4 years.
I don't know. If it works out like that, it'd be move of the year. You know what I mean?
Sure.
If. But like you said, it's just not going to happen. It's just not their style. It's not something the Bengals are going to do. And if they did do it, I would be just almost worried. What's happening? what's going on? Is everyone okay? You know?
Sure.
But yeah. So we've taken this hypothetical situation and just drilled it into the ground because it's not going to happen anyway.
No, all it's right, not. So, it's worth talking about. You see a lot of people bringing it up.
Yeah.
It is worth mentioning for that reason alone that I've seen just a lot of just internet chatter about it. And those are my thoughts on it. I actually think it's potentially a great move for both franchises. I also don't think it's going to happen, even kind of.
Right. Right. Just, yeah, I totally agree. All right. So let's end it with some game picks for. So I don't know how you feel.
Sure.
AFC and NFC Championship weekend. This is my favorite weekend of football in the whole NFL season, by far. These are the two best games, I think, year in and year out, on average. These are the best games that I watch. Just because usually one of these two games is a better game than the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Overtime, whatever, but I love AFC and NFC Championship Week. It's been that way for a long time. So we have the Lions going out to San Francisco. Obviously, we both want the Lions to win just because it's Detroit and we don't want anyone else to win. Detroit's like the last... the only good guys left. You know what I mean? So who do you want? It's Detroit is who you want to win. Who do you think is going to win this game?
I think it's going to be really, really close. And honestly, I'm going to give it to Detroit. Okay. Maybe it's just wishful thinking. Maybe it's just hopeful. I think Detroit takes this.
I like it. It's 2 years in a row for the Niners to go down the AFC championship or the NFC championship.
Yep. I think it's going to happen again.
I don't know how healthy Debo Samuel is, and I think that's a big deal.
Yes. It's part of the reason I went that way.
Right. The Lions secondary is so bad.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to go Lions, too. There's just like an emotional aspect to their team this year that no one else has. You know what I mean? Everyone else has this, we belong here. We should have been here. You know, this is where we expected to see us. And everyone in the Lions locker room, I think, maybe expected them, but no one else did.
No.
So they have that thing. They have the same kind of chip that the Bengals had going up to Kansas City in 2021 for the AFC Championship game.
It's I think that's why Bengals fans are all rooting for the Lions. Oh, yeah. They feel like us a few years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's like no one else thinks you belong here, and we're gonna prove a point. So I think it's the Lions.
Or my wife roots for them because she roots for all the cat teams. That's another reason.
That's a wild reason to root for teams.
Really.
That includes all cat teams. Carolina Panthers. She watches the Carolina Panthers play against anyone. She's rooting for the Panthers because it's a cat.
Generally, yes.
Okay. Well, then what about UC? The UC Bearcats. Is that a cat? Is she interested?
It's not, but she, you know, I don't think she'd ever watch a UC game anyways. She watches college. She watches NFL because I got her into it.
Sure.
But college just, I don't watch college.
I didn't know Danielle was like big into cat teams. I know she likes
cat teams,
but I didn't know that. That's okay. That's something new. All right, anyway, so we both on the Lions, and then in the AFC, you got Patrick Mahomes heading to Baltimore to play at M&T Bank Stadium against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. So this one's tough. I see all these arguments on Twitter about who – you're not a real Bengals fan if you're rooting against Baltimore or whatever. Just everyone back and forth. You shouldn't root for a division team. You shouldn't root for the Chiefs. Who are
you? Do you know how to know if you're a real Bengals fan?
If you're
if you say you're a fan.
Yeah, I know. I don't get it. I don't like the you can't be a fan if you like this, or you came on after this date, so you're not a real fan. It's stupid. Who do you want to win? Who do you think will win?
I want... Everybody can do whatever they want to do. I think the Ravens will win.
You have to make
win.
A disclaimer. Okay.
I do. I think the Ravens are going to win. I think that's what's going to happen. Right. I am not... rooting for the Ravens. Yeah. I'm rooting against the Chiefs. I will watch this game as an impassive observer.
Okay.
I will never cheer for anything.
Yeah.
I will never show emotion. And when the Ravens win at the end, the emotion will get out of me and go, yeah, that's how it's
okay.
And I'll walk away.
So what you're saying is you won't cheer when Baltimore scores, but you will cheer when something bad happens with Kansas City, as a fumble or an interception or
pretty much, yeah.
All right. I like that.
Against the Chiefs. I'm not for the Ravens.
That's a really passive aggressive way to watch.
I'm old school. I'm bitter. I'm
not going to root for you, but I will like the enemy of the enemy is my friend kind
yeah.
of thing.
Like, I'm I'll not cheer your failure. I'm cheering the Chiefs' failures. That's what I'm doing.
Sure, sure. I think I'm not going to steal it from you. I want to steal it from you, but I'm not going to. I think the Ravens are going to win because I think they're a better football team. And yeah. I mean, from top to bottom. I think that the Chiefs have just a combination of other teams fizzling out and them just because, you know, a lot of you'd say you have these like playoff things where it's a playoff Pat. Playoff Pat doesn't look like playoff Pat. He just doesn't. You know, he just doesn't. He doesn't look the same. And I don't know what the hell happened with the Bills, but they absolutely collapsed. I'm not expecting to see that with Lamar. I don't think this is going to be close. I think it's going to be an ass-kicking. So, but, yeah, I like the idea of not rooting for Baltimore and just, like, when Pittsburgh – or not Pittsburgh, when Kansas City throws an interception, you're, like, not like, yeah, Baltimore intercepted. It's like, yes, something
like, good
happened to Patrick. Yeah, good. Good, Patrick.
Good. Sitting there. Hope that sucks for like, you.
You have a cat, right? You have a cat? Yeah. Just sit in your chair with your legs crossed and hold your cat in your lap and just, yes, another interception for Patrick Mahomes. Is I can't just, you know, I don't know. I feel like that's
the vibe.
I don't know how we got on cats. That's the vibe. All right, cool. All right. You got anything else, man?
That's it, man. 2 days recording. I'm done.
2 days recording. That's right. All right. Well, again, we are brought to you by CincyJungle.com, SB Nation's Cincinnati Bengals website. We are sponsored by Eastgate Smiles Dental Care. We are on the Orange and Black Insider on YouTube, anywhere you can get podcasts. Check it out. Like, subscribe. There's a lot of great Bengals content daily. And then, again, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week to preview the Pro Bowl. I'm pumped. No, not really. We'll be back next week to talk about something. So maybe some Bengals news. I doubt it. You know, I wasn't, you know, I don't know. We'll be back to talk about something. So enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the AFC and NFC championship games. Go Detroit. That's all I got to say. And Hooday.
Hooday.
Great!